Thank you, Daisy. He is faithful. He is so good. God is good. One of the most beautiful psalms is the one that a young person just read. I call it the Thanksgiving Psalm, Psalms 100. Psalms 100. I believe that we as a people and a nation have been truly blessed by God. We really have. I've traveled many countries in my teaching career, and I'm always anxious to get back home. Not just to my wife, but my country. I mean, God has just blessed us abundantly, and I think sometimes we just kind of think it's there always for us, but it may not always be there for us. It's not unusual at all for us to make Christmas lists, Christmas wishes, or lists of New Year's resolutions. But what about the list that doesn't come up very often? A Thanksgiving list. And so you'll find in your bulletins a blank piece of paper right at the top that says, "My Thanksgiving List." And so it's blank. And I'm hoping that by the time the service is over, that you will have several things written down on that. So I'm going to give you the opportunity to write things that come to your mind that you're thankful about during this message. Now, if the message becomes boring, that could be more Thanksgiving things you can write down because you can think more about what to write. So you should have a good list by the time this service is over. Let me help you by sharing with you some items that some housewives put together that they were thankful for. And so this is what they said. They're thankful for automatic dishwashers because they make it possible for us to get out of the kitchen before the family comes back for their after-dinner snacks. Hey, here's another one. They're thankful for husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house because they usually make them big enough to call in professionals. Or for children who put away their things and clean up after themselves. They're such a joy to have, you hate to see them go home to their parents. Yes. For teenagers, because they give parents an opportunity to learn a second language. Whoops. Or for smoke alarms, because you know when the turkey's done. Well, the man had to say, well, I've got to add to this. I'm going to tell you what men are thankful for. So this is what he put down. I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. Wow. You ever been thankful for the taxes you paid? That's taking something and turning it around and sharing God's blessing. Here's another one. For the clothes that fit a little bit too snug because it means I had enough to eat. Or the lawn that needs mowing, windows that need washing, gutters that need cleaning because it means I have a home. Praise God. For my huge heating bill because it means I'm warm. What are you thankful for? Write it down. Here's another one. For piles of laundry, because it means I have loved ones nearby. Our lists might not be the same. I'm convinced that when you make your list, it may be more than just thankful for possessions. You know, it may be, I'm thankful for health. I'm thankful for family. I'm thankful for friends. I'm thankful for the nation I live in despite all its flaws. I remember one time pastoring, I went to court because a father was accused of molesting his daughter. I stood at the back and I kept watching, and every time this lawyer asked the little girl a question, she'd look in the back and then she'd answer yes or no. And I thought, what is going on? I turned around, and there in the back of this courthouse was this lawyer going like this or like this. I found out later that the girl hadn't got to see her father for several weeks, and the lawyer promised her that if she answered the questions correctly, she'd get to see her dad. I went to the conference office, and I went straight to the lawyer, our conference lawyer. And I said to him, our legal system stinks. He looked at me and says, you're right, but it's still the best in the world. It's still the best in the world. So, you know, we have flaws in our nation. We have flaws, but God bless America. And I hope that for most of all, that all of us, that we'll put down a thankfulness for our salvation and for the mercy that God has showered upon us. Because in Jesus, we are much more blessed than without Jesus. It's a tremendous blessing to celebrate on this Thanksgiving. Have you ever considered that no Americans were more underprivileged than those that came over in the Mayflower? Talk about underprivileged. I mean, they're the ones that started this whole Thanksgiving thing. And yet they had no permanent homes. They had no government agency to help them build their homes. They had no means of transportation but their legs. And the only food they had, they got from the sea or the forest. They had to get themselves besides that. They had no money. They had no amusements. The relatives all lived back in England. Had no Social Security. And no Medicare. But I want to tell you, if you would have called them underprivileged, you would likely end up in the stocks. They had initiative, they had courage, a willingness to work, and a boundless faith in God. Did you hear that last one? They had a boundless faith in God. Kind of think sometimes that as a nation who started this Thanksgiving, we seem to want to constantly take God out of the picture. One nation under God. A lot of people would like to get rid of that phrase. Let's take a look at the Declaration of Independence. Our Declaration proclaims that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. And it ends with these words, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. You know, Thanksgiving is a distinct holiday. Think about that for a minute. Thanksgiving is a distinct holiday. It doesn't celebrate anybody's birthday. It doesn't celebrate an anniversary. It is simply a day set aside to express our nation's thanks to our nation's God. That's all it is. I want to read to you, share with you, a part of what President George Washington made in a public proclamation. It starts out by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation where it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will and to be thankful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. To be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts and many single favors of Almighty God. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, spelled with a capital B, who is the benefactor, author, of all the goods that was, that is, and that will be, so read the very first presidential Thanksgiving proclamation. And God is the center of it constantly. Constantly the center of it. You would think that as a nation, we'd be very thankful people. But I fear the opposite is true. It seems as a nation, the more we get, the less thankful we become. Less mindful we become of God, and the more we want. How is your Thanksgiving week? Somewhere in Mexico, I'm not sure where it's located. I read about the story that there's a hot springs and a cold springs side by side. You've got two pools of water, hot and cold. And it's such a blessing that the women often bring their laundry there and they boil their clothes. And then they take and they put them in the cold springs and rinse them off. And a tourist looked at the tourist guide one day and the tourist said, "Man, they must think God is generous to supply all this hot water and cold water." The guide replies, "No, Señor. There is much grumbling because He supplies no soap." Isn't that about like us? Alex Haley, author of Roots, has this unusual picture, or one similar to it, of a turtle on a post on his wall. And one day a friend was visiting him and he looked at that and he says, "Why do you have that picture of that turtle on the wall?" And Alex says, "Well," he says, "when I get writing sometimes, I do a lot of writing, I get writing and I like what I write. And I says, it's turned out so good, I get proud, I get really proud of what I've written. And that pride starts getting my way and all of a sudden I look up and I see that turtle on that post. And I remember he didn't get up there by himself, somebody had to help him." And he says, that's the way with all of us. We don't achieve by ourselves and accomplish great things without a lot of help. The psalmist says that things may change in a time. A drop in the stock market. How about paradise? An all-consuming fire. A thief taking things away. The only thing we can be sure of, dear friends, is our relationship with God. That's the only thing we can be sure of. And that's what the 100th Psalms is trying to emphasize. You'll find the word Lord or His in all five verses. It kind of reminds me of the last time I talked, when I talked about stewardship. No, there's nothing that's ours. It's all His. All His. So the basis of our thanksgiving is actually the Lord. That's the basis of our thanksgiving. We got what we have because God has helped us. He is provider of every blessing that we have received in life. So here are the five thanksgivings commands that I find in Psalms 100. The first one is, shout for the Lord to God, or it should be, shout to the Lord. Shout for joy. I'll get it right yet. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. I love it. When we get up and we sing a song, and especially there's that one praise song, says, raise your hands to the Lord, you know. What is that song? You know what it is? I can't remember what it was. And Seventh-day Adventists are always setting on their hands. We're afraid that we might get a little touch of Pentecostal. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? I actually, in church one day, they were singing this song. I got up and I told the congregation, I said, you know, it's okay if you raise your hands. It's okay. To the Lord, it's okay. And then about a third of the congregation started raising their hands. It's okay to be. God wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be happy. So we can shout to the Lord. I've said before, and I don't know if you remember, but I have said before, there are times when I get real excited, and more so in the past before my wife retired, because, you know, I'm a little bashful even around my wife. And that is when she was working and I was home studying or something, and I would have worship time, and I'd put on a CD, and I'd crank that thing up. I mean, you'd think the windows were going to start rattling. And I'd shout. I mean, I would sing out loud. And I don't sing. If you notice, I don't sing very often because I get the cough. But back then, I'd sing out because I love the Lord. I just let it all out. And that's what he says. Let me know you love me. I want you to be happy. Now, some of you, not all of you, some of you are sport fans. Uh-huh. I see some smiles over there in the corner. Uh-huh. And that winning basket, I mean, you sit there and, oh, I'm so glad they made that. Ha! I even jumped out of my couch and yelled, yay! What about doing that for Jesus? You know, what about the things he blesses with? Just shout to him and thank him. Maybe he solved your problem, given you a direction to go, provided a blessing, proclaim your praise. Let him know how thankful you are. That's what the psalmist is trying to say. Suddenly you realize that God has been so good to you that you can't keep it inside you anymore, David's saying. From the depths of your being, you express your joy to the Lord. Some of us are more expressive than others, I know. But I know some of us shout inside. Don't be afraid of that shout inside. Number two, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. He doesn't say serve the church. He doesn't even say serve the pastor. Doesn't say serve the organization. He says serve the Lord. How do you serve the Lord? Ask, okay. How do you serve the Lord? Inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Wow. Reaching out, helping others in need. Matthew 25:40. Isn't that what Psalms 100 is saying? In whatever you do, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Number three, come before him with joyful songs. Daisy, I don't want to thank you for that special music, but I thank you for the opening song. The opening song, I feel, when we come to worship God, we need to really let it out. We have come before the throne of the universe, the high God, the most God of most high, the majesty, the creator of everything, heavens and earth, and always has been and always will be. I mean, what a God we serve. We need to come with him with praise and thanksgiving because of the love we have for him. And that's why I like to have worship start. So Daisy set the example this morning. Our opening song should be powerful. Should be powerful, not one that puts us asleep. but one that praises God and lifts their voices up to them. That should be our opening songs. Shout with joy, serve with gladness, and come with joyful songs. The psalmist is saying, come before me and serve him and sing the praise with heart and joy. Come before him with joyful songs. Number four, part of number four. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. You ever stop to think about that? You know, he took every bone, every joint. He welded it together with sinews and muscles and covered it with skin. He gave you eyes to see. He gave you fingers to pick things up with. God made you, and he made me. I tell the young people all the time, you know, it's incredible. God knew you even before you were conceived. What a God we serve. You know? He made you the way he wanted you to be. He made you the way you want to be. He made you the way that you are. And so when you get up in the morning and you stand before that mirror with your hair undone, you say, thank you, God, for making me so lovely. He made you. He made you. And you know what? He is still making you. He is still making you. He's not satisfied with your unfinished product. He's not real happy about your temper or the weak areas in your lives that yield to temptation. So he's still making us. He's still working our lives. Paul says, I thank God every time I remember you, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to a completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He made you and he's making you. And when you're complete, wow. Don't give up. Praise him and thank you for the love and care he gives to us constantly. Write that down on your list if you haven't written anything yet. Okay? God is your maker, and you are created in his image. In his image. Therefore, give him thanks for who you are. And the rest of that verse says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Yeah. I never could figure out which one is me, and I'm not sure I want to know. But anyway, frankly, the truth is most of us want to be shepherds. Most of us want to be shepherds, not sheep. You know, it's not any fun being sheep. The problem is, we don't know where the still waters are or the green pastures. Yeah. Matter of fact, every time we go out searching for them, we inevitably end up in that far country. So the Lord is saying, you be the sheep, and I'll lead you. Because I'm the shepherd, I'll lead you where the still waters are in the green pasture. Jesus says, just let me lead. Just let me lead. Trust me. Number five, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I'd like to ask the deacons if they'll just take a moment now and hand out our cards. Those are going to help us, our young people, or somebody, he's going to hand out this. Here they come. Here come the cards. And while they're handing these cards out, I want you to think about this particular verse. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. You see, in the old temple, it symbolized the presence of God. And people would go through the gates and into the courtyards, and they knew that they were coming into the presence of God. What do we call this building? A sanctuary, which basically symbolizes that God is here. But in reality, you know it and I know it, God is everywhere. He is with us constantly. His presence is with us. He is with you as you drive on the highways. He is with you when you work. He is with you when you care for your children. He is with you every moment of your life. God is with you. But some are wondering, what if God began to treat me the way I so often treat him? What if God met our needs in the same extent that we give him our lives? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled to God when he sends the rain? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God took away his message because we wouldn't listen to his messenger? What if God wouldn't bless us today because we didn't thank him yesterday? What if God answered our prayers the same way we answer his call to service? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we did not follow him today? Oh Lord, help us to be thankful. Help us to be grateful. And treat us not for our sins as we deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. I invite you to fill out that card. And I pray this last week, this Thanksgiving season, has been meaningful to you and all your family. I challenge you to read Psalms 100 again today. Five verses, five simple verses of thanksgiving. And on the back of the card, if you will, check off the next step you'd like to take. I desire to praise God with thanksgiving every day. If that's your desire, check it off. That's your response, check it off. I want to thank God for not treating me the way I deserve. I think I'd put a great big check there, personally. And Jesus, helped me to shout for joy because of your love for me. And if you're interested in anything, transferring your membership or getting Bible studies, please let us know. If we heed all of God's five commands on thanksgiving, I will guarantee you that our hearts will overflow with love and thanksgiving for everything he's done for us. May God bless us, and may you have a blessed Thanksgiving week and a blessed Sabbath.